Mickey?
Well, I can't imagine them. Anyone I like to talk to more than you do.
Well, that is nice of you, Mickey.
Well, that's enough to say, but I'm very fond of you two, because you really do work. You don't just sit back and, you know.
Your
emotions are the right ones, and there aren't many like you.
I get very cross sometimes,
Mrs. Why?
I don't know,
but you're cross. Well, who, George, you mean?
Oh, I'm forgetting
George. Why are you getting bad tempered then? That's not too good.
Vicky, she's not bad tempered. I've never known her to be bad tempered.
Well, what's she meaning?
I get catchy.
Why? What for?
She can't do enough. She says she's not doing enough. She's working very, very hard. She said, I won't do this, I won't do that. I don't feel I'm doing enough. All the time. And she's working very hard.
I don't feel I do enough study, actually. Don't get down there, huh?
Good morning.
Good morning, Ben.
How nice to see you again after such a long time.
Ooh.
But I feel it was about time I put in an appearance.
Well, very nice.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, quite well.
Oh, good. I just wanted you to know that I was here with Mala, and now that Mala's joined us, it's my family.
Yeah,
I
thought
it was about time I put in an appearance, and now Mala's joined me, and Roger, I mean, we're all together, you see.
Oh,
and I should thought you might know. Yes, I will. How are you getting on? I've heard so much about you and what you're doing. You know, I often think back on those days when Mala used to come, and we used to have a chat together, and you forgot some of my recordings, didn't you?
Well, we were playing them, sending your recordings all over the place.
Nice to know that they're doing some good.
Yes.
I used to come regularly, I used to be quite a regular communicator,
And
I thought you'd be interested in that. Mother's very well now, very happy, and she's been resting, but now she's fully aware, fully conscious of everything, and she's so happy.
Well, remember us too.
Yes, I will.
Yes,
she has so much to contend with, you know, poor dear.
I know.
Hers was not an easy life, not by any means, not by any standards. She really always had to fight. She fought for both of us, and her life was really very sad, but she's reaping her reward. She's very happy now, and she's so different. If you really see her, she's like she used to be in the old days. Of course, looking young and, well, now entering into everything and sort of adjusting herself, and she's thrilled and happy. Just wanted you to know. I'm not sure you'd be interested.
Thank you.
And I always think of you with kindness, and hope one day I may be able to come talk to you again. I probably will, but I've just... So I just got out and pop in and say, well, everything's okay. And anyway, all the very best to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Very nice of you.
Mm.
Good morning.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you, yes.
I'm not quite sure if you can hear what I say.
Very well.
There's a whole crisis before here. I'm not quite sure whether you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you better.
Are you still there, friend?
I find this rather confusing, but that's naturally because it's the first time that you've met me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you do very well, friend. The first time, very well indeed.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm afraid I'm not making a very good job of this.
Oh, yes, you are. You're doing very well.
No doubt I should become familiar with it and try.
Yes, well,
I can be able to talk.
See what you can do.
Yes, it's okay. I find it extremely difficult to collect my thoughts.
Yes.
To transmit them halfway through the screen. But no doubt I shall do better if I get more used to it.
Well, I'll see what you can do, then.
Feeling is panic.
Panic?
Yes,
oh, dear.
Perhaps it does not ring a bell. Perhaps this name that isn't very familiar to you. But I've been here a number of years now, thus. Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
I can hear you.
Good evening, Mr. Connell.
You're quite well.
Times have changed considerably since I came over here.
Yes,
there's
yes.
An entirely different thought in the world.
Yes. Would you?
When I come into entry or earthly conditions, I very start.
Yes, I think it is.
A whole world, living on the very verge from the brink of disaster.
Yes, I
fear, you. A fear in the world, living through and by fear.
Yes.
Mr. Parnell, can you tell us something about how you passed over and what you're going on the other side and your, what your experience
are? I'm very interested in politics,
yes.
But not in the sense that perhaps you did, naturally. I have now got a attitude of mine has changed rather. I'm not interested just in the old country, but the whole world.
Yeah.
And there's only one way for the world, and that is to have an international spirit. Patriotism isn't enough now. It's no good thinking about one country, your own country, that you happen to be born in by accident. Here, but now the time has come that one must think internationally, one must forget self, one must forget national spirit, one must think internationally for the good of the whole of humanity. It's the only solution to the world's problems. It's no longer any use thinking about the flag. It's no longer any use thinking that your country is right and your country is more important than the rest. One must think internationally. It's the only hope for the salvation of the world. When we see the state of the world today, when we see what is happening, it's frightening.
Yes,
because the slightest mistake would set off the trigger in which our whole world would be involved. And there'd be no solution. There'd be no solution. There never is a solution at war, but if there were another war, well, there wouldn't be many left to tell the tale, and the world would be devastated.
Yeah.
Even now, there's the risk of accidents, let alone anything else. You're so afraid of this terrible attitude of mind that exists between America and Russia. The danger there is tremendous. It's about time that they came to a proper mutual agreement and understanding. We work together for a common good. It's no use having this old idea of things as international. This national spirit is deadly. You must have an international spirit, a worldwide crusade for peace. Every nation working together in harmony. This dreadful business in Vietnam is so appalling that words pain me when I think about it. And it's so unnecessary. It's only through fear. The Americans fear of communism. They should get out while they're doing good. Otherwise the whole world would be made to suffer because China is becoming strong and China could be very powerful. And it could lead to something which once started. Well, I wonder if you dare think about it.
Mr. Parnell, I wonder if you could tell us something about your side of life. What's all right there?
I'm not interested in your side of life at the moment. Much more concerned in trying to get some sort of peaceful attitude of mind between the nations. Because as your world is today, and what it could be tomorrow, it can have an effect on our world too. People don't realize that. And it's true to say that when your world is in such torment and turmoil that it could have, and it does have, even now around the earth, tremendous consequences. Earthbound souls with their tracks, and some of the conditions are so dreadful. Something must be done, and it must be done quick before this happens. We are so afraid for you.
Well, now, the thing is this, these tapes, are they all up about the other side of the life? They want them, and they're the tapes that seem to be doing the most good. People who talk about you.
When they get here, they'll find out exactly for themselves. They should be doing something in the material sense, Mother, on earth. You'll be talking about what's coming. What you want to do is do something about now.
They'll
find that out when they get here.
Mr. Fuller, what were your reactions when you called, when you found yourself in your...
I didn't believe I was dead at all, so...
Now,
of course, I knew all this. I found myself here in a small cottage, which was familiar to me, because it had an association with my early life. Mm-hmm. It was a replica of a cake which I'd been very fond of when I was a youth, when I was a young man. I was so upset about the condition of the world in that. So concerned with the world, so concerned with the politics such as they are, which are driving the world to the very brink of disaster. This political attitude rises dead as a doodle. Today you can't have that kind of politics. Yet you're acting as if you're living 50 or 100 years ago. It's about time the people rose together en masse. Did something about this. These dumb politicians, the stupid politicians. They're a curse to the world.
I quite agree with you.
But don't you think the mass thinking of people will have an effect too?
The mass thinking of the people, if it's directed in the right way, could do a great deal. Because after mass thinking will come mass action. It's the papers are in the pay, if you ask me, of the politicians. The papers print what the politicians want. The whole world is run by politics.
You see, I'm sure the people don't know what's after life, does it?
That's what comes when they get here. I don't think that's what matters. Is that something is done now in your world, put it right. You cannot bring children into a world such as yours with no future, no hope. We're pessimistic, at least I speak for myself, I'm more than pessimistic. It's your world that's worrying us, not ours. Ours is all right. They'll find that out when they get here. What they want to do something practical and sensible and intelligent to get your own world right. After all, the people that constitute our world are people that are much bigger than yours. And if they come here, with the attitude of mind that I have and the atmosphere that's so strong within them is no good, you should see the reaction of something. It's your mind that's the problem, not ours.
These tapes do help, Mr. Farnell. That's why we like to know a lot about the other side, you see, because they do help people to think differently.
I'm not here to talk about myself, but I'm here to talk about yours. Let those that come that want to talk about us, I would like to talk about it to you. And if you want me to talk to you, I'm concerned about doing something about your world. Your world is the world that interests me now, because it's your world that is in such need and dire necessity. And after all, it's the product of your world that constitutes our world. And if the product from your world is appalling, and its attitude of mind is all wrong, then something must be done to put your world right.
Well, what would you suggest? I mean, you've been a politician in your day. What would you suggest now?
Well, as you have thought by now, your common sense alone and experience of past wars would have taught humanity that no solution can ever be reached by war, by the use of force. Force is as dead as the dodo. Force is the thing that man must avoid at all costs. And there's no reason at all why they should not come together, the heads of all the different nations, and come to understanding and agreement. And in any case, the first thing that would begin to set the world alight would be for America to come out of Vietnam. And that is the big explosive danger spot of the world at the moment. And this fear of communism, why there is such fear, I don't know. Because the communists will always make progress. They don't need to go to war. Then there is poverty and dire necessity, and there's room for communism. That will grow its own natural sequence of events and causes, it's stupid to try and fight it, because it must make progress, whether it's Diane's system properly. If they want to avoid communism, then they must pour into the different weaker countries, the poorer countries, money and help and food, not arms, not munitions. You'll never come back, communism or that. It's the most mad, the mad thought, and frankly, we're disgusted in this old shoot, speaking for myself, that is. And I'm sure I'm right, and I speak for most of us here. The first thing is to get the Americans out of Vietnam. It's the most explosive spot in the world today. Their whole psychology and policy is wrong.
Well, how would you suggest getting them out of Vietnam?
Walk out, come out, while the going's good.
Yes, but we can't do much about it, you see.
We can't do
much about it for the thing, you know. We have no authority. What we try to do is play these tapes to influence people, which we find that people, when they find an afterlife, they...
Well, if you want to go on playing gramophone records to knock out the din and the noise around you, then it's up to you, but if you want to do, that's the way. You get the message over to the right people.
Well, now look, Mr. Parnell, you've got a chance of getting a message over. Why don't you put down a good message on these tapes now? And we'll try and get it over to some person.
Well, these are my ideas, I guess. But I cannot see that any solution will ever be made by war or threat of war. Surely the world's come much of its senses. You had two world wars, and no one has won. Everyone has suffered. There can be no solution in this nuclear power. It's so dreadful, so frightening. I should have thought this conversation would tell people what stupid attitude it is to go on and on and on like this. The money that's wasted that could be used to build up the world and make it a better place for the coming generations, to feed the poor and the hungry, and help those whose needs are so many, but to waste money, to just pour it down the drain, the destruction. You know it's all very well to say it's deterrent, it's no deterrent at all. We've heard this story for the last 100 years. Sooner or later, those things will be used. It's like talking to the dead. Better, but we are very upset about where the conditions and the fear, the dreadful fear in the world that man is allowed to come into being through his foolishness and his ignorance. The whole world is in fear. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr.
Father. Yes. Hello, Mr. Father. Vicky. No. Can I say this? Vicky, you see, the ones that have talked about the other side of life has changed people's attitude right from the truth. These channels from their television when I came back and said they want to know the most things that we say talk about the other side of life. And that's the one that's altered the whole situation of things. It's changed people's minds.
Yes, Dad, I'm sure that some of these people, like this gentleman, they are so concerned with your world and the state of your world and the possible effect of almost any day something could happen. By accident, it's not by design. And therefore, although they're interested to get over things for certain amount, they are more interested at the moment about them and trying to do something to stop this and to change the thoughts and ideas of men who are on earth. It's no use talking about what is to come until you get your own world right. You see, he's right there. I mean, there's always people talking about they want to know about the other side and they want to know about communication, but you've got to be practical in your world. You've got to do something different in your world. Otherwise, it's useless. What's the good of us coming to talk to you about what our world's like when you haven't got your own world straight?
Maybe there's all part of this. You see, when I know there's another side of life, there's another side of the course that they go for the type of girls that they are. They begin to change their ideas.
Well, I'd like to think they would, but from what I've seen of other spiritualists, it doesn't make much change in them.
Yes, but
you see, if the spiritualists can't change, and believe me, there's thousands of them who are no better for knowing this truth than they were before, and better than some of them, this is a damn sharp word. There are exceptions. Obviously, there are some genuinely sincere spiritualists who are interested in spiritual truth. But there's a lot of them. As long as they can carry on their own sweet way and do the things they want to do, oh, well, that's all right. You know, the point is that the truth of the matter is that the spiritualism hasn't progressed to the extent it has because it has no real spiritual understanding of what we've been trying to give them for dummies here. The point is that the average spiritualist just isn't really interested in material traits in his own way of life, or providing he can get along materially, and he knows that everything's going to be all right spiritually when he gets here, he just can't, you know, go along the whole sweet way.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, why is this spiritualism hasn't made more progress? Why hasn't it been able to do lots of the things that, well, one had hoped it might have done? Because a lot of spiritualists, or a lot of spiritualists, and a lot of the churches and people involved are more concerned with material aspects. I mean, you take an average church, what do most people go for? To get a message about some mundane material thing. They're not concerned with spiritual significance. If the person who's giving the address or the person who's in trance and someone's trying to communicate from this world, the people start looking at their watches after they've been talking for about 10 minutes, 12 minutes or something. They start saying, oh, I'm much longer, they want the clairvoyant. They want the messages. And 90% of the spiritualists are no more spiritual than anybody else. In fact, they're worse for knowing and yet not for them.
I'm glad it has, George,
but, you know, we are concerned with your world as we stood if we weren't. I mean, after all, what he says is true. It's the people in your world that want to keep the people in this world. I'm not talking about the highly advanced souls who've been here for generations or centuries, but the immediate numbers of people that come over, they're coming over with all the thoughts and ideas and what have you, from the material world which they've just left, and they know better. You see, that your world is a training ground, and if people aren't learning the lessons, if they aren't doing anything practical and sensible in the spiritual sense to make your world a better place in which to bring up their children and the future generation, then what's the use of all this? I mean, we've just got to get cracking in your world. That's why we come, to get your world put in order.
We do the same.
I know you do, and it's probably your best, but 90% of the people that come to you, what are they? I mean, when you analyse it, they come and they sit and listen and they have a nice bit of cake and a cup of tea and it's quite a nice afternoon out. And then they go away and put it to pieces and knock about mad and say, you're balmy. Oh, I know you have, but a lot of these people, you know, they've got motives and axes to grind. You've had a few of them. And really, you know, I know you're doing your job and I admire you for it. But some of these people, you know, they want to scoop behind them. I know, Dad, I'm not getting it you, but you know, some of these people, everything's sticking with what they have already got in their mind, their preconceived ideas. Then you're marvellous. All it takes is marvellous because it substantiates what they preach or think or think. But my God, if you go one iota against them, God, blimey, your name's mud, mate.
Ricky, this is what's the difference between a lecture and a come true. It's still the man that will find himself on the other side. It's by doing these things on the back, by creating more of this.
Yes, you're right, you'll keep repeating that. I know that you get it from time to time, but you can't always accept it. And it's just as well sometimes if you have people that have been with communicator who have his own attitude in mind, you don't want people who are going to be sort of repeating each other. You want to get all types because that is interesting too to people. I mean, they say, well, that's interesting, that person's out looking like it. It's, you know, different. You know, you don't want, after all, we are individuals over here, where we have a collective thought on the main issues, we still have different ideas. That's what makes our world interesting anyway. You can't have everybody thinking exactly the same old carbon copies coming through all the time. Anyway, I'm scared. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, man.
He's getting a little bit edgy.